Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. You may have noticed that the songs we have been singing, the scriptures we have been reading, have all come from the book of Psalms. The great book of Psalms. The book of Psalms sits just about in the middle of our Bibles. In the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, there are 150 separate Psalms. The Psalms are their poems, their songs. In the worship life of Israel and Judah, these songs were sung or performed at various events and festivals and gatherings. A couple things you might not know about the book of Psalms. We've been reading through scripture since the beginning of the year. If you haven't been with us or you're joining us online, put together some reading schedules starting in January. The reading schedule concludes in a few weeks in June. We've looked at on Sunday mornings different books of the Bible, groupings of books of the Bible as a way to just kind of share some understanding to help us read these texts better. And so from week to week, I'll just share some things about these books that constitute or make up our Bibles. So here are a few things about the Psalms you might not know. While the book of Psalms contains 150 separate Psalms, the Psalms are actually comprised of five separate books. Book one is Psalm 1 through Psalm 41. And book 2 is Psalm 42 through Psalm 72. Book 3 is Psalm 73 through 89. And book 4 is Psalm 90 through 106. And the final book, book 5, is Psalm 107 through 150. At the end of each book, there is a doxology or a blessing, a final blessing that marks the conclusion of that book. And so the ending of book one is Psalm 41:13 that says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." The end of book two is Psalm 72:18 through 20. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen." The prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. The end of book three is Psalm 89:52. "Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen." The ending of book four, Psalm 106:48. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen, praise the Lord." The ending of the final book is actually the ending of the entire Psalter, and the ending of the final book, the fifth doxology, concludes with the final five psalms, Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. And these psalms are marked by the repeated use of the word praise. Why five books? Well, most believe the five books, psalm books, were to correspond with the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. Perhaps as a way to communicate that the appropriate way to respond to the law is worship and adoration of Yahweh, Jehovah, the one who gave the law. The Psalms or the Psalter are not compositions from one moment in time. It covers a vast time frame that includes a multitude of experiences. Thus, the Psalter, the Psalms, contain songs and words that cover the ebbs and flows of life, from triumphs to tragedies, from fulfillment to failures, from invitations to celebrate to permissions to cry. It's no wonder that the book of Psalms is such a rich part of our faith tradition. We have been afforded access to this collection of lyrics and find ourselves borrowing from this songbook throughout our lifetime. I have said in the past that the book of Psalms represents real emotion, real relationship, and real history. And so don't be shocked when you read a text that is raw and it's real, like Psalm 137. Babylon was a nation, state that destroyed Judah. They pummeled Jerusalem and they destroyed the holy temple of God. And now they have besieged the city. They have taken possession of the land that was formerly Judah. The Jews are now in possession of the Babylonians. And so listen to the cry of the psalmist reflecting on living in Babylon captivity. Psalm 137. Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees. For our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. O Lord, remember what the Edomites did on that day. The armies of Babylon captured Jerusalem, destroyed it. They yelled, "Level it to the ground." O Babylon, you will be destroyed. Happy is the one who pays you back for what you have done to us. Happy is the one who takes your babies and smashes them against the rocks. Church, that's real emotion. As you read and listen to the Psalms, pay attention to the expressions of relationship. Psalms that depict intimacy and love and care. Psalm 23, written from someone who knows a lot about the intimate care of sheep. He uses that metaphor to speak of their relationship with God. And so you hear the words of real relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Church, that's real relationship. And throughout the Psalms, there is the rehearsal of history as a way to bring attention to the work of God. Psalm 136 is a prime example of a psalm that conjures up the work of God by citing his work throughout history. I want to read Psalm 136, but I need you all to help me read Psalm 36. Can y'all help me read Psalm 136? On the screen, you will see words in white and words in yellow. If you could, for me and helping me read this psalm, if you could read the words in yellow. This is a call and response psalm. It's a litany in its original form. I'm told that this is how Israel would sing it. The praise leader would read the words in white, and the congregation would respond respond with the words in yellow. So I need y'all to stay with me. I may speak while you're saying something, but just go ahead after I read the words and while you read the words in yellow. Y'all okay with that? Do we need to rehearse it? We don't need to rehearse it, right? We can just do this. Help me read Psalm 136. All right, here we go. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, I didn't read all the rest in one. Okay, y'all were waiting. That was the rehearsal part to see if you were paying attention. Okay, here we go. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, who alone does great wonders, who by understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth on the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule over the night, who struck Egypt through their firstborn and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, who led his people through the wilderness, who struck down great kings and killed famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to his servant Israel. It is he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes, who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heavens. Church, that's real history. Real emotion, real relationship, and real history. It's a helpful way to read the Psalms. Another helpful way, which has become a dominant way of reading in my experience, is a way highlighted in the work of Old Testament theologian by the name of Walter Brueggemann, by far one of my favorite authors and Old Testament theologians. He actually lives right there in Cincinnati and is still writing and still teaching Old Testament theology. I have used this way of reading in the past. I've actually preached three separate sermon series on this way of reading the Psalms. Walter Brueggemann suggested that all the Psalms fall in one of three categories. Either it's a psalm of orientation, a psalm of disorientation, or a psalm of reorientation or new orientation. Psalms of orientation. These represent psalms that talk about how we are made. This is how things should be. These psalms will usually include words and thoughts about creation and the Torah, the Word of God, and words of wisdom. Here is an example of a psalm of orientation from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. This is how we are made, and there is a reason to celebrate and worship that truth. Psalms of orientation. But then there are psalms of disorientation. These are the moments when something isn't right. There is confusion, there is pain, there is sadness, and there is despair. From Psalm 69, save me, O God, for the waters have come up over my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause. Those who seek to destroy me, I am forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. I can't help but pause in this disorientation. This is the place where many people are living in the recent weeks. A couple weeks ago, I came to you and asked you to pray for my friends and family in Buffalo, New York, as they suffered a horrendous, horrific shooting at a supermarket just minutes away from where I grew up, a place where my brother-in-law was employed but had the day off. But then some madman goes in and shoots 19 angels and 2 guardian angels, 19 children and 2 teachers. And to watch the videos of family members and community members crying and screaming and yelling, I can't help but think that they're in a season of disorientation. But then there are psalms of reorientation or new orientation. These are the moments when that which was wrong is made right and the response is praise with a new song. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. There is cause to give God praise because he resolved that issue. He healed that sickness. He restored me from my brokenness. Psalm of reorientation. Orientation, disorientation, and reorientation. A way to make sense of this corpus of writings that are an intricate part of the worship life of the God of God's church. It's no wonder that the Psalms are the most quoted writing in the New Testament. And Jesus' followers are encouraged to speak in the language of the Psalms. And in essence, the Psalms represent the harmonic cries of the heart. In two instances, the Apostle Paul encourages Christians to speak using Psalms. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs or songs from the Spirit, singing music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since the members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It's natural for us to think of singing psalms, but here Paul telling the Jesus folks to talk to each other using psalms and teach each other using psalms. Why? Because the writers of these psalms, they get us, church. They get us. We sometimes think that we're unique in our experiences. Man, I'm the only one that has ever gone through this. The Psalm says, not so fast. I've been there. I get you. I get that. And so as we read the Psalms, we read Psalms that are born out of experiences that we live. They've experienced death before, and they've experienced, I mean, look, they know how to give praise. If you want to learn how to give praise, if you want to lean into what it means to praise God, read the Psalm. Psalm 96 in verse number 4. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. They know how to worship. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. They're not ashamed to admit that they're fearful in instances. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. They know anger. I read Psalm 137 above, but here's another example, talking about his enemies. May his children be orphans and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg. May they be driven out of the ruins they inhabit. These psalmists, they know depression. Psalm 77, the psalmist says, I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. You keep my eyelids from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. The psalmist, they know pain. They know pain. How long? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? They know pain, but church, they also know joy. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's a psalm they call a psalm of ascent. As they were traveling and journeying to Jerusalem for the great festival, they would sing that song. I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. The Psalms are such that we can read the Psalms, we can sing the Psalms, and we can pray the Psalms. These versatile texts are crucial in our walk with the Lord and our walk on this earth with all its ups and downs. In response to all that life throws at us, we might cry out in harmony with a joyful shout. We might cry out in a gut-wrenching complaint or lament. We might cry out in a celebratory cry of relief and resolution. He rescued me, and we cry out. Whatever the cry, the prompt from the Psalms is that we cry out to the Lord who made the heavens and the earth and who made us as we are, fearfully and wonderfully made. The Psalms ought to be a go-to book for us. There are times in our walk where we're so dissatisfied with life and we think that somehow we're violating our existence on this earth or in the presence of God. The psalmist would say, I've been there. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be dissatisfied. But take that cry to the Lord. When you're joyful, take that cry to the Lord. When you've been rescued, relieved, when God has answered a prayer, take that cry to the Lord. When we gather together, we sing these psalms as reminders that life isn't contained within the walls of this building. Usually in the walls of this building, everything is okay. Things are going well. It's when we go to work, church, that things get complicated. It's when we get in the car and we're driving behind the person on a road that's 70 miles an hour and they're going 50. That's when it gets complicated, church. It's when that coworker won't stop popping their gum. That's when it gets complicated. It's when our kids get addicted to drugs. It's when it gets complicated. It's when we lose. When we lose our spouse after 53 years of marriage, that's when it gets complicated. The Psalms gives us permission and invites us to speak in the language of the faithful. It's okay to say to God, God, I don't understand what you're doing. It's okay to say, why do these people over here that curse you, they have everything and I'm over here struggling? It's okay. It's the language of the Psalms. Equally, it's okay for us to shout out and praise in moments where people are, how could you celebrate in moments like this? Because I know who my God is. My God rescued Israel out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea and their enemies were destroyed. I'm celebrating because I know what my God can do and I know what he will do. We've been invited to speak in the language of the Psalms. And so our invitation today is that simple invitation to come worship, to bow down in the presence of God, because he is our shepherd and we are sheep. And I'm not calling sheep dumb animals. I'm just saying sometimes they're not the brightest. I'm just saying that sheep need a shepherd. So come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. As you sing this song, may you feel a closeness with God such that you can speak honestly to him and before him. May you take your joyful cries of orientation, your painful cries of disorientation, and your relieving cries of a new or reorientation. But come to God, the Lord our God, our Maker. So we're singing this song. If the church can be helpful to you through prayer, through conversation, if you want to make that known to the church body today, you want to come forward and share with us, you want us to gather around you and pray with you, we'll do that. If today is a day that you want to make the Lord your shepherd, you want to confess Jesus to be your Lord, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll do that for you. We'll take your cares to the Lord. Take your cries of joy, of pain, celebration to God. Come, let us worship and bow down. If you're able, let's stand and let's sing this song together.